Starting shortly after the turn of the 21st century, most Republican members of Congress and mainstream conservative pundits in the media became cowards when dealing with social issues. They suddenly became afraid of being called homophobic for denouncing certain kinds of behaviors and agendas promoted and celebrated by the media, in public schools, Fortune 500 companies, the U.S. military, and professional sports teams. They also became concerned about being called racist if they refused to put black people on a pedestal or hurt their feelings by wearing a funny Halloween costume or pointing out certain crime statistics or the percentage of fatherless homes in black communities. As our culture continued to reflect Sodom and Gomorrah, thanks to leftists in Hollywood and the big tech social media platforms manipulating the algorithms, most conservative leaders stayed silent, continuously self-censoring themselves, hoping to avoid any backlash from the liberal media industrial complex and falling in line with the frame set up by the left. And many, like Ben Shapiro and Charlie Kirk, began sounding no different than Democrats on many issues.
What I think is the position that needs to be articulated better is I have no problem with, you know, gay marriage, whatever. Like, I believe marriage, one man, one woman. That's my own personal position, right? But I'm never going to tell government to have someone live a life. I think it's cool you're married. I think it's great. And you should have all the same tax benefits, adopt children. It's great.
No.
Right?
But I feel the same way about you.
Well, it's fine. It's like, whatever. Like,
all of a sudden, mainstream Republicans were only concerned with tax cuts for the middle class and trying to prevent jobs from being outsourced to foreign countries. And, well, those are great policies. Their focus came at a tremendous cost to the culture, which is just as important, if not more so, than economics and the job market. Once the culture becomes polluted, it's like a poisoned well, and anyone who drinks from it is in danger of getting sick or dying. It seemed it was only a few Christian zealots like Pat Robertson of the 700 Club and Pastor James Manning, who dubbed President Obama the long-legged Mac Daddy. Remember him? He had the guts to say out loud what the left was actually doing. But after two decades of quietly watching from the sidelines as the poison was poured in, the sleeping giant of brand name reactionaries finally awakened. The left had pushed too many people too far. Although time will tell whether or not the awakening was too late. Despite Republican firebrands like Matt Gaetz, Marjorie Taylor Greene, and Ted Cruz eventually getting involved in the culture war, to some extent at least, most politicians and political commentators sat idly by for years while independent YouTubers and activists on Twitter were sounding the alarm about what was happening. One of the problems that led the Republican establishment to becoming so cowardly is they morphed into a big tent party, meaning one that attempts to attract as wide range of groups of voters as possible under one banner. That means not taking a firm stance on certain issues, because being too conservative or too far right may scare some people away who the party is trying to attract. Too conservative, meaning still supporting various issues that were core values in the Republican Party in previous generations, but ones they've slowly backed away from as society has gotten more tolerant of liberalism. So they watered down their message, hoping to gain the support of first-time voters and that of moderates, independents, and some disaffected Democrats, while taking those for granted who have usually supported them in the past. The brand name Republicans, Conservative Inc., the corporate conservatives, whatever name you want to attach to the Republican establishment and their mouthpieces in the media, have increased the size of the tent for so-called conservatism so big that it became a circus. And because the Republican Party has become dramatically more socially liberal over the last 20 years, there's a saying among real conservatives, paleoconservatives, that the difference between liberals and mainstream conservatives is 10 years. The Republican establishment functions largely as a political ratchet, meaning they allow Democrats to keep moving society slowly to the left while putting up some resistance trying to stop it, but they rarely, if ever, turn things back to the right. Similarly, the political commentators who work for the brand name outlets or are trying to build up their followers on social media in hopes of one day joining them usually function as a false opposition and pretend to be anti-establishment by criticizing a few common points of contention people often have about Congress or the media in general, trying to create the impression that they're not part of the club, while either towing the party line on every other issue or carefully avoiding going against others that are clearly core establishment positions, like our billions of U.S. tax dollars pouring into Israel every year to help fund their 75-year-old ongoing ethnic land dispute between Jews and Palestinians. This year, the unwritten rule on the right regarding Israel became crystal clear to those who had never noticed before, and the woke right began endlessly virtue signaling their allegiance to a foreign country and showing their hypocrisy when it comes to supporting free speech. There's a saying that every social cause starts off as a movement, then becomes a business, and then later turns into a grift or a swindle. Not that long ago, in the 1990s, the Republican Party would have shunned many of the stars in conservative media today. And any Republican who was afraid to take a conservative stand on various issues or adopted the same stance as Democrats would have been voted out of office. If they started sucking up to the resentful black people who will forever have a chip on their shoulder against white people because of slavery 150 years ago, like the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, who perpetuated the left's narrative about George Floyd and insists that there is systemic white supremacy in America today, or Ronna McDaniel, the former head of the RNC, posting happy LGBTQ pride messages and now celebrating how the Republican establishment was making the party gayer, they would have been mocked for their pathetic pandering and their careers quickly ended. If liberal Jews or gynos, Jews in name only, started complaining about Christmas celebrations at schools or the office like the ADL or some of the Jews at the Washington Post or NBC News who have written op-eds whining about being accosted by Christmas music every December and being offended when someone tells them Merry Christmas, they would have completely been ignored, ridiculed, or told maybe they should move to Israel then. But today, even most Christians are weak, and their weakness and silence has only allowed the left to become stronger.
Santa Claus is not considered to be a religious symbol for constitutional purposes. So asking students to draw a picture of something that's not deemed religious is constitutional. But I'm sure Michelle has a lot to say about why, even though this is technically constitutional, why an assignment like this is nonetheless problematic.
Yeah, absolutely.
Has a single conservative pundit, the Republican member of Congress, voiced any opposition to gays being allowed in the military over the last 10 years? Nope. They'll mock the woke recruiting ads, but that's it. They don't mind those people being in the military. They just virtue signal that they disagree with the woke recruiting commercials that were produced under the Biden administration. They bent over for the Democrats on that issue since Obama lifted the ban on gays in the military back in 2012, which had been in place since the founding of our country. But it gets even worse. When Vivek Ramaswamy was running for president, he actually said that he supported transgender people being in the military.
Would you reinstate the ban on transgender members of the military?
I would not reinstate a ban on transgender members. I would, however, be very clear that for kids, that's where my policies are very focused. We should not be foisting this ideology onto children.
But you would not ban transgender members of the military?
I would not.
Okay.
That's what mainstream conservatism has become now. They don't want them in the commercials, but having them in the military is just fine, which means Vivek Ramaswamy supports people like this.
All too often, I hear leaders talk about providing everyone with dignity and respect like it's an aspirational goal. That's not good enough. Dignity and respect is the bare minimum. It's the floor of where we can be. We must set our sights higher and focus on intentional inclusivity, because there are still far too many people out there, not just LGBTQ individuals, that feel marginalized, shut out, or discriminated against.
Vivek is a smart and entertaining guy who crushed it in the debates and has a bright political future. He was chosen by Donald Trump to be part of DOGE, the Department of Government Efficiency, along with Elon Musk, and would make a great member of Donald Trump's cabinet. But even he is so far left on certain social issues, and so cowardly, quite frankly, that he thinks there's nothing wrong with these people not just being in the military, but being commanding officers, which means other soldiers have to use their mandatory pronouns when saluting them. Even President Trump, with his First Step Act, catered to the black community, which was designed to let nonviolent black criminals out of prison. Officially, it was nonviolent criminals, but it was specifically put in place to pander to black people. Since the prisons are so overcrowded because we have so many criminals in America, Why don't we just build more prisons instead of letting people out early? Trump commuted the sentence of the co-founder of Death Row Records, a guy who went by the name of Harry O, which won rapper Snoop Dogg back over to Trump's side because Death Row Records is the label that launched Snoop's career. But I guess that's politics, though. Buying the black vote by letting criminals out of prison. Maybe I'm just pipe dreaming. Maybe the general population has been slowly pushed so far left through cultural Marxist Hollywood propaganda, social media molding their minds, and children being raised in broken homes by single parents who were raised in a broken home, and so on and so on. The only way to hold any semblance of power on a national level was for the Republican Party to move left to the point where the Democrat Party used to stand as recent as the Obama administration. Since Democrats have moved so far left, they're literally Marxists in comparison. If this is the case, this problem brings us back to the Breitbart Doctrine, the idea popularized by Andrew Breitbart that politics is downstream from culture, meaning in order for political change, such as new bills to be passed into law, first the culture has to change, and people's sensibilities and tolerance for certain ideas or behaviors have to be primed to accept or demand them. And if there is any hope of saving America, it starts with saving our culture, our values, our common standards of decency, of what is right and wrong, and what we consider to be not just weird, but unacceptable and an abomination. If you like my more serious monologues like this, then you'll really love reading my books. So order The War on Conservatives in paperback or now hardcover from Amazon.com, or download the ebook from any of the major ebook stores, Kindle, iBooks, Nook, or Google Play. My books are a lot more in-depth than my videos, so if you want my complete uncensored analysis, along with nearly 1,000 footnotes sourcing all the material, head on over to Amazon.com or click the link in the description below and check them out!